Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are grateful for the men's chorus this morning, singing our hearts glad, giving all praises to God, to Dr. Brian, other ministers, and all of you that is present on this Sunday. Amen. We are grateful to see you and to have you here with us, either in person and online. We are grateful that you have decided to come and spend this time with us. I would like to, this month of September, we've been doing a series of sermons, case files, old church open case files. On first Sunday, we did the case of foot slipping, that mysterious disease nobody can put their finger on. We named it, we classified it, and we provided a cure for foot slipping. Last Sunday, we went to Whoville, and we had a showdown at Whoville. Who in Whoville can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? And we came up with a case of nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This morning, I have to share a secret before I get started. I am a shade tree detective, a living room investigator, a couch private eye, and I've learned from the best. I learned from a dog when I was little by the name of Scooby-Doo. I learned from Scooby-Doo that monsters ain't real. Usually just some dumb Donald in a mask. I learned from Shaft that it was cool to be smart. I learned from Columbo the power of one more good question. I learned from Adrian Monk the devil's in the details. And I learned from Matlock how to present a case. And so this morning I want to present the case of bored to death. If you would turn with me to the case file found in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 7. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of Dr. Luke, these words are recorded. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep as Paul continued speaking. He fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." We read into your hearing Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. The case of bored to death. we need not spend time investigating the cause of death. It is clear to anyone who reads this transcript that he died of boredom. He was literally bored to death. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we come today not to figure out the cause, but who is responsible for this death. We need to answer the question, is this a case of homicide or suicide? Is the case of bored to death a case of homicide or suicide? Well, first we have to look at the only suspect. If the young man was bored to death, the only suspect in this case is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he had a lot to say. And apparently in this particular service, he decided to say it all. And Paul was telling them, and the scripture says that he knew that this was going to be his last time. So every time Paul would start to wind it down and get to a close, Paul would think to himself, this may be my last time. And he'll catch his second breath and go on and on and on. The text tells us that Paul was long-winded, endless in his exhortation, profuse in his preaching. Twice, Luke tells us in verses 7 and 9, Paul spoke to the people a long, long time. In verse 7, he said he continued his message until midnight. And then in verse 9, it said, and he continued speaking. Paul was long and dull. Could that be reason enough for us to charge Paul with homicide in the death of Eutychus? Because everybody know that you can't preach that long. And it's not because preacher's inability to preach that long. It's because of the pew inability to hear that long. Everybody know this is a well-known established fact that people just can't listen to preaching that long. Therefore, should we accuse Paul and every other preacher of a crime if they get to be too long? But I gotta stand up for Paul. Paul was not only long and dull and plain, but Paul had a knack of being deep and profound. And every now and then, brothers and sisters, I gotta let you know, when you're being deep and profound, it takes a little longer to dig the hole. It takes a little longer to bake the turkey. It takes a few minutes to scramble some eggs, but it takes a little longer to make a quiche. If you're going to be deep and profound, how can you avoid running the risk of catching a case of bored to death? Is this a homicide? Do we blame Paul? Well, before we decide, let us take a look at the victim. Because for all intents and purposes, this could be, in fact, an accidental suicide. We don't know much about the victim except what's in the case file. And in verse 9 in the case file, it says, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. All we know is that he was in a window. He's a young man. He was falling asleep on the third story and fell out the window dead. Now I don't want to get into victim blaming. I don't want to just say it's all his fault. But there's some clues in the case file that tells me something. See, I'm not of the school that worry about people sleeping in church. I learned that lesson a long, long, long time ago by a fellow by the name of Brother Bo. One day I got to church and the rules had changed. The tradition, it was flipped upside down. This day I could no longer sleep in church. I don't know what happened. Before that day, I could. But this particular day, I couldn't. And so I hatched the plan. If I gotta stay awake, so does Brother Bo. Now Brother Bo was a senior saint. He had a few problems. He had Down syndrome back in the 70s and 80s and didn't get much help. But Brother Bo would walk to church. And so by the time Brother Bo got to church, Brother Bo was musty and sleepy. And because he was musty, nobody wanted to sit around him. Therefore, he could go to sleep. But I was brave. I was courageous. I decided today I was going to stay awake by keeping Brother Bo awake. So as the service was going on, I was moving my seat. I look over at Brother Bo and keep an eye on him. And 1 minute, sleep got on my trail. It was on me heavy. I couldn't fight it off no longer. But I had one more trick up my sleeve. I had Brother Bo. So I looked over at Brother Bo and sleep had caught him. He was out for the count. I could see it in his head. His head was bobbing. His eyes were drifting away. I said, "Oh no, Brother Bo, you ain't going to sleep on me." So I bumped Brother Bo. And right in the middle of the announcements, Brother Bo stood up and said, "Don't you ever wake me up when I go to sleep." Brother Bo cured me of two things that day. He cured me of worrying about other folks sleeping in church. And he cured me of going to sleep in church. So I don't have no problem with Eutychus going to sleep after Paul had been so long. However, he made a couple of mistakes. You see, there's a vast difference between sleep and sleepy. See, once sleepy hits you, you know sleep is on its way. Once sleepy attacked you, you know sleep is on its trail. It's part A is sleepy. Part B is sleep. What did he do when he first got in contact with sleepy? Listen. First thing you don't do is to move away from the crowd. So he left the first story and went to the third story. That's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. If you ever grew up in church and you knew that you're about to get sleepy and mama might thump you on the back of the head if you do, the last thing you want to do is separate from the herd. You want to get in the midst. You want to get it close. You want to get around. But he went further away and got in the window. And that got me to thinking when I began to investigate this case. When did he get in the window? When he became sleepy, did he then move to the window? Which would be a mistake. Or once he was in the window and he became sleepy, why didn't he move? And so perhaps maybe this is just a simple case of accidental suicide. But before you decide, maybe we ought to look at the autopsy. The autopsy report one more time. The autopsy report is found in verse 10. In verse 10, here's the autopsy. He was found dead in verse 9. So the next document we get is the autopsy report. And the autopsy report says, but Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. When we read the autopsy report, we find out that God dealt with death. God snatched death right out of this story. Listen. God removed death from the crime scene. God scrubbed the crime scene. God contaminated the crime scene with grace. God eliminated the body. Therefore, there's no homicide because there's no body. Therefore, there's no suicide because there's no body. Therefore, the preacher can run the risk of being long and dull, knowing that he won't catch a case of bored to death. And you can show up sleepy. From the cares of this world, you can show up sleepy and go to sleep without worrying about a case of bored to death. But what did God do? God performed a miracle in the midst of their mess. In the midst of their meeting, God performed a miracle. Even though Eutychus couldn't beat sleepy, God performed a miracle. Even though Paul was long-winded and Dr. Luke does not record one word that he said that night, God still performed a miracle. God still changed the scenario. God still dealt with death. Like Elijah and the widow, God dealt with death. Just like the widow of Nain, God dealt with death. See, it does not matter what we do. God dealt with death. And so, brothers and sisters, this case is dismissed. So in spite of Paul, in spite of Eutychus, God still performed a miracle. So it doesn't matter. Just get to the worship service. You can get here in person. God can perform a miracle. You can get here virtually, but God can perform a miracle. When we connect with God, when the people of God are in connect with the word of God, God can perform a miracle. Case of bored to death is dismissed. May God bless you and may God keep you. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. There may be someone here today who want to turn their life around. Here at Ebenezer, we believe that starts with Jesus. As the ushers and deacons come, we ask that you think about it. Make up your mind. You can come. Weary and worn, happy and glad. Come on, come on, come on. Yes, praise the Lord, yes. Come on, come on, there's plenty of room, plenty of room. Accept or reject. Amen. Amen. Not be able to show the announcements. The internet went down, so we do ask that you refer to your bulletin. If not, the bulletin, also the announcements, and Miss Ebby will be on YouTube. Amen. So you should be able to go to YouTube and see the announcements in their entirety. Amen. 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 Well, since I got some time and I'm a member of St. James, St. James immediately follows service. I'm going over to St. James because they having a back to church fun day. It's supposed to be free food and games. I'm going to enjoy all of that. And I invite you all. Come, join me at St. James immediately following the service. Lunch is on me. They're supposed to have a Louisiana taste. So you're all invited. I just did it. So, Sister Davis.
Good morning, Ebenezer.
Good morning.
We have a, we have Ebony Crawford, and she is a candidate for baptism.
Amen, amen. Ebony, bless you today. Bless you. What is your desire today?
My desire is to get closer to God and find a new church home that can take me in as a family.
Amen, amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful here, definitely here at Ebenezer. We're grateful. We believe Ebenezer is a great place to go to heaven from. Amen. Be a part of God's family. Amen.
And then we just had Harmony just to scroll her down the aisle and make sure she make the right choice. Come with her, Harmony. And also we have Esther Jenkins. And this is a young lady, and she just wants prayer.
Amen.
She's had a lot, and so she would like her grandmother. Her grandmother would like for us to pray for her until perhaps one day she makes that decision, okay?
Amen, amen, amen. 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 We will definitely be praying for you, Esther, and your grandmother and all of you. We thank Ebony today. Amen. 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 Let the church say amen.